Proverbs 25 says, like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. And I've got some good news for you today. First of all, let me welcome you to our worship service for the Chicago International Christian Church.
Amen.
And we want you to know that we're not just a church here, kind of all by ourselves, set apart, but we are a part of an international fellowship of churches that are connected by the blood of Christ and that want to work to evangelize our world.
Amen.
I bring you a report. I'm actually going to read part of a report that's on the LA Church's website, written by our brother Kip McKean, about the gathering, which was our first European mission conference. Amen. On the weekend of October 19 to 21, God gathered in London more than 100 souls from as far away as Canada, Estonia, some of you don't even know where that is, France, Germany, India, Ireland, Nick,
Ireland,
Poland, yeah, come on, Ivana. Pakistan.
That's me.
We got South Africa, so Africa was there. Sweden, Switzerland, the Ukraine, the United States, and of course, England. God's new movement of sold-out disciples is rapidly spreading as disciples from Paris have decided to join us and start a Bible talk this week.
Amen.
In the heart of continental Europe. Amen. Friday night, I was privileged to speak on the theme, the dream. Jesus' dream was to change the world by giving every man and every woman an opportunity to have a personal relationship with God and thus eternal life. Particularly moving was the sharing and preaching and testimony of Lance Underhill, one of the shepherds at the City of Angels Church. He shared that his prayer and dream was that all four of his children would be baptized, and they were. Yet when lukewarmness came into the church and then into his life, each of his children fell away. As a victory story, three of the four are now in the City of Angels Church.
Amen.
And the other son, upon his return from Iraq, wants to be a disciple with them as well.
Amen.
And speaking of returning from battle, our brother Dave Cadell has been in Germany. For a year he's been in Germany with the Navy. He called me last night and said, Chris, I'm back on U.S. soil. Amen. Dave has landed, and of course he's going through whatever you have to go through to be debriefed, debugged, whatever. And God willing, as soon as next Friday, if not into the following week, Dave will be back with us here in Chicago. Amen. Dave said, well, how are the singles doing? I said, well, brother, it's good to have you back. Let's talk about the singles ministry now. And I said, are you going to be here New Year's Eve? He said, yes. I said, good. Because I've been talking with Anthony, and we're planning a campus singles New Year's Eve party.
Amen.
That's going to rock the house. Amen. That's going to be fun. Amen. Moving on. Kip says, upon our return home, good news awaits us. During the past 10 days, there have been 6 baptized into Christ. 3 of whom are college students from the Cal State Fullerton Ministry.
Amen.
Led by Kyle and Joan Bartholomew. Of course, Kyle and Joan came from Hilo. They've gone to L.A. to train in the ministry, and then, God willing, will be going back to Honolulu to help with our church there.
Amen.
In fact, Joan will be here in a couple weeks because her brother's graduating from Great Lakes Naval Academy. So I don't think she'll be here on a Sunday, but she'll be visiting with us for a couple days. Amen. Also, I received word from Raul Moreno. He leads our Santiago, Chile International Christian Church. He flew to Honduras to preach at the first anniversary service of the San Pedro Sula International Christian Church. During the past year, with no full-time people, at their first, they grew from 50 to 75 disciples with no full-time people.
Wow.
At their first anniversary service, they had 320 visitors.
Dang.
105 children. So they had close to 500 at that service at their anniversary. Amen. Truly, truly, the world is being evangelized in our generation as 240 of them expressed a desire to study the Scriptures. Amen. You guys fired up about that? Now let's get to the Scriptures ourselves. Amen. Our title today is actually part 6 in a series we've been doing from Psalm 23. And it's deep because we're only in verse 3. We've had 6 lessons. Amen. Of course, the phrase we're focusing on today is, He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And the title is just that, Paths of Righteousness. And guys, those are the paths we need to choose to walk in. Amen? I believe all of us have a choice today. And we have a choice every day to choose to allow God to guide us in paths of righteousness or to choose to take unrighteous paths that will lead us away from our God. You know, sheep are creatures of habit. They will walk the same paths till they wear a rut in the ground. They will graze the same hills until they've eaten the grass up by the very roots, which creates a barren place, just soil, dirt. So when the rain comes, it erodes. Parasites of all kinds grow in those barren areas and infest the area. And then if you're not careful as a shepherd, they'll infest the sheep as well. When a piece of land gets to this horrible condition, it's said to have been sheeped to death. Sheeped to death. Now, the land, as well as the owner's reputation, is ruined. See what I mean? He guides them in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. If the shepherd doesn't drive the sheep forward and allows it to get to that condition, it's his reputation that's ruined. Not to mention, the sheep become thin and sickly. Now, what's the greatest safeguard for the sheep? It's to keep them moving. Keep them moving. He guides them in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. In the summer, itinerant herders take their sheep to the hills. They deliberately drive their sheep to new grazing pastures almost every day. Their management and their intimate knowledge of the pastures are key to being a good shepherd, as a pattern is worked out far in advance as to not overgraze that land. You guys with me? Well, then today, I think we need to do a little talking about 5 paths of righteousness that God wants to guide us in. Path number 1 is the path of humility.
Amen.
Isaiah 53.
Come on, bro.
We all have a choice today. You can choose to be guided into the path of humility, which will lead you to righteousness. Or you can choose to take a well-trod path called the path of pride. And let me promise you, that is not a path that leads to righteousness. Pride is a path that leads to unrighteousness. It leads to a fall and it leads to destruction. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, let's get the analogy home. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, meaning Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Let's talk about it, guys.
Come on, bro.
People are so much like sheep, it is downright embarrassing. Isn't it? We deliberately, stubbornly, and blindly follow the same path over and over, even when it's proven to be a destructive habit.
Come on, bro.
You with me?
Yeah.
As Isaiah says, we've gone our own way. Our pride is so incredible that in spite of many warnings, we will not yield. You with me, guys? Are you sitting there in pride today? You know what God's asking of you, but you are so prideful that you just say, God, you haven't convinced me yet.
Come on, Chris, reach that.
I tell you, we need to humble out. Our way doesn't work, guys. Take a look at the world around us. When we choose our own path, how's our world doing? People say, I don't need God. I got it covered. How's it going out there? In a world where you have to be afraid someone's going to steal your clothes, steal your money, kill you to steal your shoes. How about that? How's our world doing? Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man. Oh, seems right. This path seems right. But in the end, it leads to what?
Death.
Come
on, bro. Preach it.
Just like sheep. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. This scripture shows the destructive self-determination of a human being. How about you?
Come on.
We insist we know what's best. Why do we trust ourselves so much? The world we live in, think about it. It's full of broken homes, broken hearts, and derelict lives. It's just laid out.
Yeah, come on, bro.
Derelict lives because of our pride.
Come on, bro.
We don't want to be led in paths of righteousness. Who are you to lead me? Hey, I got it covered, dude. While your wife's signing the divorce papers. You got it covered. I tell you what, lately on campus, we've been studying the Bible with a lot of people. And I want to hold up Joel Parlor.
Let's go, Joel.
Because, let me tell you, over at UIC, we have been studying with so many people. So many guys we've been opening the Word with. Let me tell you, it was awesome to see Victor and Mike both baptized last Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, I want you to know, we brought 6 men on campus to decision last week.
Yep.
Only 2 of them got humble and got baptized. 2 of them are gone. They want to argue the scriptures. Their way is downright silly. It doesn't make any sense. It's from emotion. It's nowhere in the scripture. 2 other guys, one of them, we've shown it, the way you're saying does not fit the Bible. But he's bucking it. Another guy says, how can he believe that? It's clear in the Bible. But he's not here today because he's going to his church where they don't teach what he's seen in the Bible.
Wow. Come on.
Our pride is so stubborn.
Yeah.
My attitude, guys, if you don't trust the scriptures, if you're here today and I say something that's not scriptural, get rid of it. Throw it away. But if I show you in the scriptures something, I don't care if you're mama's granddaddy's best aunt's cousin.
Hey, man, bro, come on. Talk about that.
Has done something different all their life. It doesn't matter because they're not God. My opinion doesn't matter and their opinion doesn't matter. God's dominion is what matters. I want to share about Peggy. You know, Brittany met Peggy and brought her to Bible Talk. It's been a month and a half, 2 months now. You fall in love with Peggy really easy. She is an awesome lady. full of zeal, energy, fire. She's great to have in Bible talk. And they got deep into the Scriptures. And it was hard, wasn't it, Peggy? She hit some things in the Scriptures that, man, it seemed to be there, but it just didn't fit with everything we've known. Didn't fit with how we've grown up. Same for me when I studied the Bible. But me and my family, we've lived in different traditions all our life. I believe the Bible's got to be our standard, not our tradition.
Amen. Come on, bro.
And you know what really ruins it? Is the emotions. We get sentimental. So we see what the Bible says, but because we get sentimental about people we love, we'll do what our feelings say over the Bible. Scriptures tell me, if you go by your feelings, you're not going to make it. So I'm really proud of Peggy, because she kept fighting for the truth. And we got together after Bible talk, me and Brittany and Peggy had lunch, and we just talked, and I shared my life. We looked at some scriptures about false doctrine, false teachers. It's amazing. We get sentimental about people, but if they're teaching false things from the Word, the Bible's clear where they stand. Even if it's us, even if it's our family, the Bible, let it be true, and all men a liar. I'm so proud of Peggy because she got it. And those of you that are disciples, when you're studying the Bible with somebody, you can tell when they get it. Can't you? It clicks. And they start asking the right questions. God willing, today, Peggy's going to get baptized right after service.
Amen?
But it's because she decided to humble out. And not to follow her emotions, not to follow her traditions, but to follow the Word of God.
Come on. Amen.
The path of pride will lead you to walk away sad, guys. I'm telling you, we're not here today to play church. We can go to church, have fun, do whatever we want. That's not what we're about. You'll be a member of this church, the Bible's got to be the standard for your life. We're not perfect. We mess up a lot. You know? And when we mess up, we help each other. We don't ignore it and go, oh, I better not challenge them on that because they'll never talk to me again. Yet you go to church together. It can't be that way. That's pride. We got to walk the path of humility. Mark chapter 8. This leads us to the second path. Which is a little steeper. We're heading up to the hills, guys. Head for the hills. In Mark chapter 8, we're going to read in verse 34. You know, Jesus never belittled the cost of following Him. In Mark 8, verse 34, it says here, then He called the crowd to Him, along with His disciples, and said, if anyone would come after Me, if you want to take the path I'm on, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for Me in the gospel will save it. Guys, again, Jesus lays a clear choice in front of us. There's two paths. Amen. You chose the path of humility over the path of pride. But now, your path diverges again. There are two paths. The path of self-denial, which leads to righteousness, and then the path of selfishness that leads to unrighteousness. Let's just lay it out. We want our life to be what we want our life to be. Jesus said, if you're going to come after Me, you've got to deny yourself. If you want to save your life and have whatever little life on earth you think is awesome, you're going to lose your life for eternity. You've got to choose the path of self-denial, not the path of selfishness. Let me tell you, the path of selfishness leads to so much destruction. So many people are merely nominal Christians. What that means is, in name only. You can't tell if you see them at work or school any difference from anybody else, any pagan at work or school.
But
if the name Jesus comes up, they'll say, I'm a Christian. You are? Dude, I saw you at the club last night with like your fifth Long Island iced tea, like, blah, 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 you know. Oh, yeah, but I'm a Christian. Oh, God forgives me for that. Did He forgive you for that girl you left with, too?
Come on, bro.
You say, dude, how do you know that's what people do that claim to be Christians? Because that's what I did. I grew up all my life believing in Jesus, going to church. And when I wasn't in church, I did what every other red-blooded American boy was doing. And I was a good guy. I was so good, I'd manipulate you to get you in bed if I could. That's the way people live.
Come on, bro.
People that profess Christ,
yeah,
but follow their own selfish path.
Right.
We insist we are led of the Lord. And then we sing the songs of salvation.
Talk about it. Come on, bro. Lay it out.
But precious few really follow the words of the songs they're singing. Philip Keller, who wrote this book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, that has inspired these sermons, said this: there are many willful, wayward, indifferent, self-interested Christians who cannot really be classified as followers of Christ. There are relatively few diligent disciples who forsake all to follow the Master. So how about you? Are you a Christian? Or are you a follower of Jesus Christ?
Come on, bro.
Let me give you something here. When we go from self-pleasing to just wanting to please God, when you go from selfish ambition throughout the day to godly ambition, so much of the daily troubles of life is gone. I want you to hear me. You guys have trouble every day of your life. But so much of the trouble you're living in comes from pleasing yourself. There's a path of pleasing yourself, and then there's a path of pleasing other people. That's a whole other story. And then there's a path where you want to please God. And it's a path of self-denial. But when you take that path and your desires to please God, so many of the troubles that you used to go through in life, they'll go away. You're never going to know until you take that path and find out for yourself. Instead of insisting on your rights, are you willing to forgo them in favor of others? Instead of exercising and asserting your will, are you willing to deny yourself and follow His will? Instead of choosing my own way, I will choose to follow Christ's way. Simply to do what He asked me to do. To go and stay where He asked me to go and He asked me to stay. For my best interest, I'll do this. For the interest of others, I'll do this. And for the reputation of my God, for His name's sake, I will do this. Are you willing? Are you ready to take a back seat? Play second fiddle? Without feeling abused or taken advantage of? Let me tell you something. When you get to this place in life, it is hard to hurt such a person as this. Because self is out of the equation. Think how often you get your feelings hurt. You get hurt during the day. When you live for Christ, and you put self aside, you realize one of the coolest things I realized when I became a true Christian is I don't have to take everybody's sin personally. Let's say you get in an argument, somebody cursed you out. I remember the day it clicked for me. Man, if they were a true disciple of Jesus Christ, they wouldn't have cursed me out. So I don't have to take it personally. Like, it's just because of me they cursed me out. No, because if they were a disciple, they'd have done it differently. But can I overlook it and love them enough to invite them to church, invite them to study the Bible, teach them the truth, so they won't curse anybody out? That's the path of self-denial. Number three, go to Genesis 4. Anthony's been preaching in Genesis. Campus devotionals. Great job. So I'm going to go to Genesis here. Hopefully I'm not going to steal your thunder, bro. But this is the perfect example of what we got to talk about. There's another path that we come to as we're climbing this hill. If you've humbled out and you've gotten self out, we come to path number three. It's the path of total commitment.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 4 verse 1. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant. Gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Okay? That's pretty good, right? Cain brought some of what he had and gave it to God. That's a good guy. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of the flock. Adam and Eve looked with favor. You with me? Surely when you bring what you bring to God, it's what people think of your sacrifice than what God thinks, right?
That's not what it says, bro.
That's not what it says? But you know good and well that's how so many people live it.
Come on, bro.
It doesn't say Adam and Eve looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering did not look with favor. It says God did. God saw Abel bringing fat portions of the best of what he had, and God looked on it with favor. We better learn a lesson this morning. This isn't the preacher that makes up the rules. This isn't the church that says it's all or nothing. It's God.
Come on, bro.
You say, "Well, I'm bringing some to God." So did Cain, and God was not pleased. Why do you think he's pleased with you? Because you're still on path number one. You're so prideful. Listen, it's all or nothing. I'm not trying to be funny. Luke 14:33 says, "Unless you give up everything you have, you cannot be my disciple." Matthew 22:37 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart." And 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for our brothers." Let's break it down. If you want to be a follower of Christ, it says right here, it's going to cost some of what you have. Everything. If you want to be a follower of Christ, you've got to love Him with part of your heart. No. If you follow the path of partial commitment, it leads to unrighteousness.
Right.
Because you're partly committed to something else, and you cannot serve two masters. Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
How about if I told Teresa, "Honey, I love you with all my heart. I want to marry you. So I'm going to get rid of five of my girlfriends, and I'm going to marry you, but I'm just going to keep one girlfriend." Is that good for you? Guy wants to marry you? "Honey, I'll marry you. I'll be committed mostly, but I got one girlfriend."
Yep.
How about guys? "You know, the girl of your dreams, I'll be with you, but there's this one guy, he's a best friend, and we're friends with benefits. We would mess around together."
Oh, that's the
go. So I'm going to stick with them too.
Come on, bro.
Then what do we do to God?
Come on.
We say, "God, I love you with most of my heart. I'm just going to keep one idol."
Wow. Talk about it.
One little idol over here.
Wow.
The third path is a path of total commitment. not partial commitment. You know the rest of the story of Cain and Abel. God comes to Cain. He says, why are you so down? Why are you so upset? If you do what's right, hang with me, guys. If you do what's right, will you not be accepted? That's what God Almighty said to Cain. Sometimes you're in a discipling situation with somebody. That's where you're trying to mentor them, trying to help somebody decide what they need to do. And we think, well, it's too simple for me just to tell them, bring God your very best. And if you do what's right, you'll be fine. They want more. It's got to be deeper than that. You've got to have some theological insight. God Almighty simply said, do what's right, you'll be good. Do what's wrong, bad. Let's try discipling each other like that. Instead of, yeah, but I felt like the emotions of my traditions that really interpreted it. Do what's right, you'll be fine. Did Cain do what's right? No, he murdered his brother. He murdered his brother. Even God Almighty wasn't a good enough discipler to help Cain. Don't blame yourself. Somebody else does what's wrong. We got to love them and give them the word of the Lord. If they do something wrong, I don't think God was beating himself up that he did a bad job discipling Cain. There's a reason that today people aren't naming their twins Cain and Abel. You see a lot of, you Joshua? You must be Caleb. You know that you're Abel? Cain? No! They're not doing that! Because it's a bad ending to the story! Guys, God doesn't want there to be a bad ending to your story. You gotta follow the path of total commitment. And just on the side, let me talk about total commitment. We need people to raise up to be leaders in this church. Yes, I know it costs more. I'm well aware. We can't lead a growing group of people with a growing group of needs and not have people, well, it's too hard to come to 2 o'clock Bible Talk Leaders meeting.
Come on, bro.
Then don't be upset when the needs in your group don't get met.
That's right.
Because we're working hard. We got all hands on deck, guys.
Come on, bro.
Trying to meet the needs. So I'm begging you, follow the path of total commitment. I'm not legalistic. Let's work together. But we can't let Satan drift us apart because it's too much of a commitment. Because let me tell you what I've learned. If we don't get together as leaders and talk about the flock, we won't have a well-planned and advanced course to carry the sheep on, and it's going to get messy real fast. So let's give it all, guys. First, you got to humble out. Then you got to get self out. And then you got to get sold out. Number 4. John 15. John 15. This leads to a path that is not a fun path sometimes. John 15. Path number 4 hurts. It's a steep path. John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, I hope you can look on the scriptures because I don't want you to think I'm making this up. If the world hates you, what's the world? Well, it's everybody that doesn't follow God. So if the people that don't follow God, it's not talking about the ground, the world. The world hates you. It doesn't mean like the plants are mad at you. Right? It's talking about people. People that follow the path of selfishness. People that maybe they're partially committed to God, but they're not totally committed. If you're partially committed to God, like Cain, and you get around someone that's totally committed to God, like Abel, what do you think you feel? You look at them and you say, oh, well, they're giving better to God. Well, I'm giving some to God. And you get ticked at them. Cain got ticked at Abel. He should have got ticked at himself. It's you that's not doing what's right. It's city got mad at the one that was doing what's right. That's the nature of it. When you get sold out, people look at you. More than pagans that don't love God at all, people that want to think they're saved. Lord, Lord, I did this in your name. I don't even know you. People that go to church but are not ready to surrender all get mad at you. And they hate you. If the world hates you, Jesus says, keep in mind, hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. Do you? Do your buddies in the world just love you like one of their own pagan friends? If you love God with all your heart, how could they? Jesus didn't even love God with all his heart, but wasn't cruel enough so everybody liked him anyway. See, we're trying to be just like Jesus. Because of the way Jesus lived, they nailed him to a tree. Now, you think you can be just like Jesus, but be so cool, people like you anyway. No, it doesn't work that way. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Does it? Remember the words I spoke to you? No servant's greater than his master. You're not greater than me. We're not greater than Jesus. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you too. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name. For they do not know the one that sent me. Funny, it comes back to his name's sake all over again. When you're trying to walk like Jesus in a world that wants to do its own thing, people that want to go to church on Sunday, punch in their saved card, and go fool around, do whatever they want. You're going to walk path number four, the path of persecution. People are going to hate you. But Jesus says, they hated me first. This is a convicting, convicting scripture. Let me say it again. If the world doesn't hate you, you're not like Jesus enough.
Come on, bro.
If the world doesn't hate you, that means you've got friends in the world that if they die and go to hell, then they're going to hate you. If you claim to know how to help them.
Wow.
That's what we say we believe. But I'll just be buddy-buddy with people in the world. And then you die and you're going to heaven and they're getting sent away. Because you didn't love them enough to say something. Because you didn't want to mess up your little relationship. See, again, there's a choice. The path of persecution or the path of people pleasing. I'm not saying you don't love God with all your heart. I'm saying when you're around the people that don't know God, you people please them. We don't want them to be mad at us, so we say what they want us to say. Instead of the truth. I heard a very interesting definition of politics. I can't remember where I heard it. But basically, it stated that politics, when you're playing politics, that's when you say what you say in order to elicit the response you want to elicit.
Yeah, that's right.
Instead of just saying the truth and let it be what it be.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
You've got to proclaim the truth.
Yep. Right.
Some will love you for it. Some will hate you for it.
Yep.
But again, I say, you please God. And the right people will be pleased. If pleasing God makes people mad at you, they're not the people you need to please anyway. The path of persecution is a challenging path. See, because when you humble out, and you get self out, and you get sold out, then you get singled out. You with me? And we don't mind getting singled out in little ways that establish the uniqueness of our character. Oh yeah, that's the guy that wears his hat like that. Or that's the guy that wears that like that. Or that's the guy, oh yeah, he's got a cool style. Or he does this or wears that. We don't mind being different like that. But are you willing to be different Are you willing to be the guy or the girl that loves God with all your heart?
Amen.
And that will not back down on the truth to make pagans happy. Most of us, we'd rather be part of the crowd. Jesus said only a few would find His way acceptable and they'd be persecuted by a cynical society. I want you to look at a couple scriptures with me here. Matthew 5. Again, don't take my word for it. Let's see what Jesus had to say. In Matthew 5, verse 10, it says here, "Blessed," which means happy, "are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Acts chapter 5. How do you feel when you get persecuted? Stop. It hurts. Let me show you something that ought to blow your mind. Acts chapter 5.
Come on, bro.
We're going to look in verse 41. Actually, we're going to go up a little higher. What's happening here, the apostles have been preaching the word. Because of it, the Jews were very angry. They called them in, and they were thinking of killing them. But one of their own Jewish leaders, Gamaliel, gave a speech. And he said, "Listen, if these people are not of God, then what they're doing is going to fail. It'll fade away. Leave them alone. But if these people are of God, and you do this, you are going to be fighting against God Himself."
Wow.
In 5 verse 40, his speech persuaded them, so they didn't kill him. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. You know what a flogging is? This Wednesday night coming up, we're doing our first principles class, and we're going to study the cross. Before Jesus was put on the cross, He was flogged. They would take what they called a cat of nine tails. Right? A piece of wood with leather strips, and on the end might be glass or rocks or bone. And they would turn the person bareback, and they would whip it at them, and then at the last minute, they'd pull back so it would whip and cut into their backs. That's a cat of nine tails. That's what Jesus went through before He went to the cross. I don't know if these guys got flogged with that or just flogged with whips at this point, but they got beaten on their backs. And then they got commanded, "Now get out of here and do not preach in Jesus' name anymore." They were walking the path of persecution.
Yeah.
Not the path of people pleasing.
Come on.
You with me?
Yeah.
Let's see how they felt after they left. It says here, verse 41, the apostles left the Sanhedrin so sad. They said, "Why don't we go down to the Dairy Queen and get a blizzard to make us feel better?" Peter argued, "No, I like Wendy's better. I want a Frosty." Thomas said, "No, I doubt that we're going to be able to get that far. Let's go to Burger King and get a double Whopper. Because that comfort food will ease my depression over persecution. Then maybe we all go home and watch the Cowboys play tonight. Amen. And we'll all feel better."
I'm with you, bro.
Okay, let's pull it back in. What's my point? My point is we get so down when we get persecuted, we look to the world to make us feel better. Let's read on. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they'd been counted worthy of suffering, disgrace for the name. And did they stop preaching as commanded? Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus was the Christ. It's the truth. They believed Jesus was God, so they weren't going to stop so that people felt better about it.
Come on, bro.
The path of persecution perhaps leads to the steepest path of all. Last path, Colossians chapter 3.
Come on, Fred.
Lay it down, bro.
Come on, bro. Lay it out.
Instead of following the path of complaining and griping about how bad we get treated because we're sold out to God, or just how bad life is, we need to choose path number 5, the path of gratitude. They left rejoicing after a beating. And they didn't stop preaching. I think they were so grateful for the cross of Christ. They said, oh, awesome. We're worthy of being beaten like Him. I'm grateful that I'm following Christ. Colossians 3 verse 15. I hope you have this peace we're going to read about. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Amen, brothers and sisters?
Amen.
With all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. When we walk the path of complaint, muttering, griping, God's name is ruined. We call ourselves Christians. When those guys got beat and left rejoicing, I think God's name got heralded.
Amen.
Man, they really believe and love God.
Yeah.
Guys, we got to stop choosing the path of griping and complaining.
Come on.
Because it leads to unrighteousness.
Right.
Let me read you something very convicting. Instead of finding fault with life and always asking why? Why? Why me? Why my back? Why my feet? Why my eyes? Why my job? Why my husband? Why my wife? Are you guys with me?
Come on, bro. Yep.
Instead of finding fault and always asking why, are you willing to accept every circumstance of life in an attitude of gratitude? I want you to really try this week to walk the steepest path, the path of gratitude.
Come on,
Chris. Talk to people that do business seminars, that train people to get ready to get a job. They'll tell you every time, you know, you can learn skills to do a job, but one thing employers are looking for is attitude. Attitude is non-negotiable. They don't want to hire someone who's going to gripe and complain and be late, ticked off, angry at life. Because then when people come in their store, they get a bad name. Because they're employees. We feel entitled. Listen to me, everybody.
Come on, bro. Come on.
We feel entitled to question the reason for everything that happens to us.
Yeah.
And we look for somebody to pin the blame on for our misfortunes. If we really are going to believe that every event is in God's hands, we've got to submit to His plan, knowing He's working for the good of those that love Him. Are you with me? If you know God's working for your good, it's got to empower us to choose the path of gratitude. You aren't a victim. You choose which path you want to walk. The path of gratitude leads to righteousness, while the path, the ungrateful path, leads to unrighteousness. You know, I got a couple stories I want to share with you. You still with me? We're going to take communion after this, and then we're almost done. Yeah. I remember being at a wedding with my grandmother, and it was my brother's wedding. And we're eating at the rehearsal dinner, eating the food. And I'm sitting next to my grandmother, and I took a bite of the peas. And they were cold, like they weren't thoroughly cooked. And I didn't go, stand up, man, these peas stink. I can't believe this is the way I'm treated. I came from New York for this. All the way to Texas. No, I didn't do that. I did lean into my grandma and go, well, these peas aren't the best, are they? You know what my grandma said? She didn't even look up at me. She just said, let's not complain, okay? Oh! Grandma took me out! And I'm the visiting minister! You tell me you wouldn't have done the same thing. Now I know some of you would have been like, amen. Like the mutton. Are we grateful? Or do we think we're entitled to just complain every little bad thing that comes our way? How poor is our character if that's the way we are? I've told you this story before, but when I was in New York City, I went across to study with a man who was in a long-term care facility. Also in that facility was a man who was in a wheelchair. His arms and legs were shriveled from lack of use. And he just sat in that wheelchair all day. And every time I went, he had the biggest smile on his face. One day I said, man, I lead a church in Manhattan, and I wish I could bring all of them over here to see you to convict the tar out of them for how down in the mouth they can be. And here you are, happy as all get out every time I see you. Now, the reason he's in the wheelchair is he was drunk one night. So I'm a good person, and I just get drunk every once in a while. He was drunk one night, fell off the curb, car took him and dragged him. And that's how he ended up for the rest of his life, sitting in a wheelchair with no legs, no arms to use. I said, why are you so grateful? He said, what am I going to do? Sit here and be depressed all day? Really? It's a choice. They convict the tar out of us. We complain about having no shoes when there's people with no feet. Are we grateful? I'm telling you, church, we're not grateful enough. We need to start choosing to walk the path of gratitude. Can I just say, I'm really grateful for our young people. You know, I look here and I see whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'd say I spend a lot of hours on campus with these guys. And you'd be so proud of them. Because they are working hard for God. guys. You know, I'm so fired up about Pat Jr. He's been working hard over at Harold Washington and all the group there.
Amen.
And, you know, he fought hard to become a club there. He had to stand up in front of like 60 people and tell everybody why they needed to be a club. And he's been sharing his faith. He's been putting posters up everywhere on campus. He walked on campus. Somebody wrote bad things on some of them. Some of them were ripped down. But enough people saw them that they had 18 people at Bible Talk last week. And Pat said, this week we're going for 40. I said, that's really nice. I said, big old smile on Victor's face over there, you know? I mean, the other night, we were at D Group late Friday night with the men, and Anthony Franklin looks at Victor and says, oh, you're going to be late. You need to go to work. But we're in the middle of this D Group. Guys are confessing their sin, encouraging each other, helping each other. And Victor goes, no, it will be okay. He says, no, we don't want you to get in trouble at work. It will be okay. And then I jumped in. Because I'm like, guys, we have D-groups like this all the time. You need to not get fired. He's like, I will call them, but I will not leave till we're finished. That's someone who's doing what they're doing in the name of the Lord Jesus. That has deep conviction about what they're doing. I think of JJC.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, just a few months ago, that whole Bible Talk didn't exist. So, you know, Junior gets baptized, Tia gets baptized, Annie gets baptized, now Mike gets baptized. And the other night I heard that Theo Jr. was driving home with a team that's been studying the Bible, and they had just done discipleship.
Amen.
And they're driving home, and the team goes, why don't we just pull over right here and share our faith with these people? They were driving through K-Town. That's a pretty intense part of town. Theo Jr., he said, all right, pulled over. Got out. I don't know if you knew this, Theo Senior. Yeah. Theo shares his faith with like three people, I hear. And then the teen gets enough nerve and he's like, excuse me, I want to... And the woman walked by. So then he got more nerve and he shared, I think, with one of the leaders, one of the gangbangers out there. And they're preaching and the lady comes back, I hear. What's going on? And then Theo Jr. said when they're leaving, he got a tap on the shoulder. It was the guy they had talked to. And I really want to thank you guys. This is incredible, y'all coming out here like this, talking to us. We got to be grateful for the opportunity to have an impact on somebody's life, whether they take it or whether they don't. Let me give you a quote that ought to blow you away and challenge our maturity, and then we're going to have communion. Amen? A.W. Tozer said this. God may allow His servant to succeed. Okay? You're His servant. God may allow you to succeed. Whatever that means to you, whether it's in life, your marriage, your parenting, your fruitfulness. God may allow you to succeed when He's disciplined you to the point where you don't need to succeed to be happy. The man or woman who is elated by success and cast down by failure is still a carnal man or woman. Our joy is wrapped up in if we succeed or not, instead of being wrapped up in God. At best, such a person's fruit will have a worm in it. Did you get it?
Yeah.
So let's say, you know, you work real hard and you're successful at something. All right, you're fired up. But something bad is bound to happen. So now you're depressed again. At best, your fruit's going to have a worm in it. Because we can't let our gratitude, our joy, be wrapped up in if we're successful or not in our eyes. It's got to be just because we do what God asks us to do. And then whether it's a great day or a bad day, you can rejoice. I want to close with this. As we take communion, I want to remind you it's a choice. All the paths we spoke of. The path of humility or pride, self-denial or selfishness, total commitment or partial commitment, persecution or people-pleasing, gratitude or grumbling. It's a choice you have to make to let your shepherd guide you in the righteous path. And as we take communion, I'll remind you of our Lord and Savior, that He chose the path He walked. There's a song I'm going to read the words to called Via Dolorosa. Down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow streets. But the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back. And he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the Way of Suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But He chose to walk that road out of His love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.